You can find his work in the Register Guard, online registerguard.com. Become a follower on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Our Tuesday leadoff guy is Austin Meek. Austin, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm good. Good to be home. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? That's a scary thought. Of all the years you've covered sports, football season goes into basketball for college, then basketball season ends over this weekend, and on cue, spring practice started. Have you ever had such, let's call it a symmetric sequence of events, where you end one and start covering another, like in a day, as a journalist?
Well, I'll be honest, I could have used maybe a week to get acclimated to being home. I think that's maybe for me the hardest transition of the whole year is going from basketball season, especially when you're on a big run with basketball, and then you get home and the next day it's spring football. It was especially bad when I covered KU. I mean, that was like the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. You know, you'd be with Kansas basketball at the Final Four, and then you'd come home and it's like, oh, KU spring football starts today, and they went 0-11 last year. It's a pretty jarring transition.
So from Vegas to Spokane to Anaheim, did you make it back to Eugene, or did you just go with the team or follow them around? When you say you're just back home, I mean, has it been just a couple of nights, or did you actually get back here?
I was home for about 17 hours between Spokane and Anaheim. I think we got back at like 6 o'clock at night and flew out at 2 o'clock the next day. So I feel like I'm home for the first time in about a month. I was able to sneak a couple days in there, but it's been a pretty solid month of being on the road with Oregon basketball.
All right. Before we get to the Ducks, I saw yesterday you tweeted out about Oregon State, the women's basketball team, first ever Final Four. I mean, it was only 3 years ago. They were 4-18 in league. Then they made a couple of trips to the dance, and this, just amazing. Now this chance to face the ultimate program on a national stage. I mean, how big a wow is this for what Scott Rook's done up there?
Well, it's an amazing story. I was up there last year to do a column on Scott Rook, and what he has done with that program in the time that he's been there is just incredible. To go from having, what, like two players and holding tryouts just to be able to field a team, and just a few years later to be in the Final Four is amazing. The funny part is, you know, you look at how amazing it is for them to get here, to get to the Final Four, everything that it took to get there. It would be equally, if not more amazing, if they're able to beat UConn. That's how far ahead UConn is compared to everybody else in that sport.
Yeah, as we continue with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, I mentioned on my show yesterday, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe commented on UConn after they won by 60. He said, when they crush like that, it's bad for the game, and he's not going to watch. I was kind of the opinion, think about Wooden's dynasty at UCLA, Jordan's Bulls, Saban and Bama. Dynasties, multiple titles, they kind of stand the test of time well. Well, what do you make of that whole mess?
Well, I guess I kind of have a nuanced opinion about it. I do agree with you that watching greatness in any sport is compelling. People tune in to see greatness. I think there's probably a lot of people watching women's basketball right now, and I'd even put myself in that category. Now, I'm more interested to watch UConn in the Final Four than I was even a week ago, just because it's the novelty of it. You do want to see, are they going to win this game by 50 or 60 points? It's unprecedented. So I think there's maybe some short-term shock value in seeing UConn win these games by these outlandish scores. But I guess I do. I sort of see what Dan Shaughnessy was getting at. I think maybe he said it was killing the game, which I don't agree with at all. I don't think it's killing the game. I'm not sure it's growing the game either. You know, I'm not sure long term it's good for the sport to have that kind of imbalance, competitive imbalance at the top. I think ideally you would like to have, you know, even when you've got a great team or a dynasty, there should be, you know, an appreciation that what they're doing is difficult, you know, and it almost seems like it's easy for UConn, which in some way takes away from the impressiveness of what they're doing.
Let's get to some Duck football. We had Dakota Prukop on this show during Letter of Intent signing day. Man, that kid was impressive. Head seems like he's firmly in the right place. I guess early impressions on the next grad transfer. And Austin, any reason to waste 1 second thinking that somebody else is going to start against UC Davis September 3rd?
Unless Dakota Prukop gets hurt, no, there's no reason to waste any time debating that point. And my first impression of Dakota Prukop was exactly like yours. He's just an impressive guy. He comes across in person as very charismatic, very forceful. Yeah, great head on his shoulders. I mean, personality-wise, he seems like the perfect guy to do what he's doing, which is come in and in a matter of months basically become the leader of a team that wants to win the Pac-12 and get back to the college football playoff. There's going to be a lot on his shoulders because, as we saw in that Alamo Bowl, if Oregon doesn't have a playmaker at quarterback, they're in real trouble. So he's got a pretty short window here to become the leader of this team, but he seems to have the personality to do it, and he's already got a major head start on Vernon Adams, who wasn't on campus until middle of August.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, for some reason, I kind of forget about that. I want to get to – football's just starting. We've got plenty of time to talk about that. Let's get to where your travels have taken you. While I want to talk about Duck basketball, the subject is Buddy Hield. 37 points to get your team to the Final Four. I know you hear about Walton's 44 in a championship game. Kareem had 37 in a championship game. But of all the big games you've seen, have you seen a performance quite like this? I guess how high up the scale of shows you've seen in person was this one?
When you factor in the stakes and the stage and the quality of the performance, I can't think of another one that I would put ahead of it. I mean, that was just a guy who absolutely was not going to let his team lose. Some of those shots he made were just from a different area code, you know, and it didn't matter if Oregon had a guy in his face. It didn't matter how closely guarded he was. He would just jump up and make the shot. And just, I mean, he hit some daggers too. It seemed like every time Oregon had any momentum in that game, Buddy would just make a big shot and just suck all the air out of it. Oregon just never felt like they were really in that game, and a lot of that was Buddy.
We're talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. We got a chance last week to talk with their play-by-play guy, Toby Rowland, who explained how much Hield has improved. I mean, when they recruited him, they didn't know they were getting this. But something we don't see a lot outside of maybe a mid-major, how unique was it to see a major conference program have this much experience and return so many good players from a team that reached the Sweet 16 last year?
Well, first of all, with Buddy, that's totally right, because I remember him when he was at Sunrise Christian Academy in Wichita, Kansas. I remember hearing about this kid, Buddy Hield, who, you know, was a decent recruit, and I think Kansas took a look at him, but it, you know, certainly was not a guy that they were looking at as like, oh, we got to get this guy here. It was like, well, maybe there's a guy from Wichita, and maybe he'll develop, and he goes to Oklahoma, and as a senior now has become, I think, clearly the best player in college basketball. But it is unusual to have a team like Oklahoma at this level, just because the teams in the Final Four a lot of times are the teams that are remaking their roster pretty much every year. You know, it's the Kentuckys and the Dukes that have one-and-done players, guys who leave early for the NBA. A lot of times it's a totally new team that you see in the Final Four, but Oklahoma is sort of that rare major conference team that has been able to recruit a nucleus and keep it together over a period of years, and now it's paying off for them in the Final Four.
One final thought. The Oregon team, of course, started outside the top 25, never got Dylan Ennis, came together, and in a lot of ways accomplished what none other did and landed in the Elite Eight. So it obviously stings, but with who's returning. Altman, I think, has proved his mettle. Any reason to think that they're not a Pac-12 and national threat moving forward? Or, man, when the Final Four is there, who knows, maybe a blown opportunity?
Well, you can never take anything for granted, especially in college basketball, because it's such a transient sport. You know, guys come and go every year in almost every program, and you can never assume that just because we got to the Elite Eight this year, we're going to the Final Four next year. You know, it just doesn't work that way. Usually, it's not that kind of orderly progression. So in one sense, yeah, for Oregon, it does hurt to come so close and realize they did have a great shot to go to the Final Four and just come up a step short. But I do think, you know, if they can keep this team together, they should be ranked in the top 10 in the preseason. They should be picked at the top of the Pac-12. They'll have every chance to be really, really good next year as long as they can keep the core of this team intact, which I think they should be able to do. You know, maybe there's a guy or two that they will lose, maybe somebody that we don't expect. But overall, I think they'll be able to keep a lot of that talent intact. And with the guys they have coming in, I think there's a good chance that this can be the beginning of a good run as opposed to the end of something.
So, Austin, good stuff as always. I just want to make sure your head is straight. Go home to sleep tonight, and the next time you work, it's oblong ball, not round ball. So just so you're square there.
Well, it's good. I'm actually writing about the football right now, so a little tease for you. There's something you can read about
tonight. All right. We'll look forward to it. Always appreciate you getting us started on a Tuesday. Thanks a lot, Austin. Have a great day.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.